Good morning. You've just tuned in to the KRFY Morning Show. I'm Jack, back from vacation, and Jim is across the aisle from me. Hi, Jim. Good morning.
Jack, it is good to see you. Do I notice a bit of tan on you?
You do. Yes, you do notice a little bit of tan. I just came back from sunny Mexico. I spent a week down there with my family. Not just, I mean, with my girlfriend and then also my two younger brothers, my mother, and a lot of people. A lot of people.
I didn't get an invite.
I'm sorry, Jim.
Somebody had to remain back here and keep the show going.
Right. At a certain point, the hotel room is full and you you just have to leave it at that. Anyway.
Well, it's good to see you.
And you.
Across the studio from me. I do want to say before we get too far into our program that when you were in Mexico, you could have taken us with you.
Yes.
By how?
Well, I could have gone to www.krfy.org and streamed. Click the web stream button, and there you would have been. And in fact, briefly, I did.
You did.
I did tune in a little bit, yeah.
And then I could have gotten sort of like a reflected tan.
Yes.
Oh, there you go. But this brings up to what I really want to say is, through the magic of streaming, we've got two friends. I've got two friends in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, listening right now. And I want to give a big shout out to Mazen and Hans. I can't not even begin to pronounce the name Wester or something or other, but where they live. But they're on the beautiful canal overlooking all the boats and the cruise ships go by. And I just want to say good morning. No, it's not good morning. They're 9 hours.
Yeah, this must be afternoon or evening.
They're getting ready for bed, practically.
Mazen and Hans.
Yes, and two dear good friends. We were with them a year ago. And through the magic of streaming, isn't technology just crazy? But hi, guys, and stay tuned with the show because we're sort of excited. We've got two guests with us, but I'm sure that you want to do the weather.
Let's do the weather. Let's see here. Weather report for Los Cabos is looks like 75 right now. Oh no, you're right. My mistake.
It's like 27.
You're right. It is actually sunny right now. We've got some blue sky. It's fair conditions. 28 degrees Fahrenheit. Slight chance of showers today and patchy fog with a high near 45 degrees. That's not so bad. Tonight there's a slight chance of showers. Then mostly cloudy. Low down to 35 degrees tonight. Tomorrow the high is 49 with a chance of showers. Heading into the weekend, partly sunny with a high near 47 on Saturday. And on Sunday, a chance of rain and snow, then a chance of showers. Snow, again, still...
Skiers are happy. They're still holding out hopes.
I did not like looking out the window and seeing snow on last weekend, whenever that was. But
whatever snow that we have coming down will not last long.
You're well dressed this morning, Jim.
You better believe I am. Gotta bless Latanya and Corey. They're being so good here listening to us banter, but I've got one last little banter before we engage a conversation with them. I am wearing a lime green t-shirt because I went down to Spokane over the weekend, and they did a bang-up job with the NCAA Women's Regional Basketball Tournament. There were four teams in the Sweet 16 there, Texas A&M, Oregon, Central Michigan, and my beloved Fighting Irish from Notre Dame. And they won the regional, and they're going to be in the Final Four that starts tomorrow.
Well.
And it was wonderful.
Well, good luck to them. I don't know if I can say congratulations because you weren't on the team, but you know.
Well, I'd like to believe that I'm part of the team.
Yeah,
I'm the support team, but they play UConn tomorrow, Connecticut, and they're undefeated, and they're like the Alabama, you know, what Alabama is to football, and the New York Yankees are to Connecticut is just this incredible powerhouse who every year works magic. And so Notre Dame is going to play them tomorrow, and fingers and toes are crossed.
I can imagine. Well, Yeah, have you been following the tournament, both tournaments, or mainly the women's?
I've been following them all at this time of year. I'm a basketball junkie, a college basketball junkie.
Yeah. How are your brackets doing? Did you fill out a bracket?
In the men's, utterly destroyed.
Yeah.
This is the first year that a number 16 team beat a number 1 team.
Right.
And I along with many other folks, our choices went down in flames.
Mm-hmm.
And, but thank you very much, University of Maryland, Baltimore campus, who beat Virginia.
Right. They were saying you must be Cinderella, right? UMBC.
Clever.
Very clever. Somebody
would. Even...
Yes. But let's not talk about sports any longer. This is not a sports show. This is the KR.
Let's not.
Local affairs.
Okay.
And
local affairs.
What could be more important than talking to Corey Holman and LaTanya Keough? LaTanya is the center manager for the Head Start program here in Sandpoint, Idaho. And Corey Holman is the Sandpoint center manager for Mountain State's early Head Start. And good morning to you both. Good morning, Corey.
Good morning.
And good morning, LaTanya.
Good morning.
There we go. Now we know your voices. Thanks for coming in today. And how shall we begin?
Well, let's begin with the general. April is Child Abuse Awareness Month. And what does that mean in terms of your organization, Corey? Corey, who is with Mountain State's Early Head Start.
For our organization, we partner with the Head Start program here in Sandpoint. And we recognize that in our community, it's our responsibility to support families. And we provide an event at the end of the month for community people to get together, to offer services, to let the families know that they're there for them, and then to invite families to participate and connect the services to them. So that's what our mission is through April, and just recognizing that it takes everybody to support families and to support them in not having being victims of child abuse and things like that. So,
In other words, it's during the month of April we focus in on the family and the impact of child abuse on the entire family structure. Do you have any data or statistics on?
I just brought one, but nationally that it's been recognized as Child Abuse Awareness Month, and since 1983, I believe. And then during the Obama administration, they recommitted to it, saying that it's a chance for us to recognize that all children need an opportunity to succeed, to be secure, to be safe, and to be nurtured. And so according to the CDC, in 2015, 683,000 victims of child abuse and neglect was reported to Child Protective Services, and those are self-reports. So that's not counting all of the children that have slipped through the cracks, weren't able to report for themselves, or just didn't get recognized. So,
How does that work locally in terms of reporting child abuse?
Locally, when it's recognized, we're all mandated reporters in the state of Idaho. And so when it's...
What do you mean by that?
We all have the responsibility. Every person in the community has a responsibility that if they suspect child abuse and neglect, to report that.
Whether a teacher, a neighbor, a family member, a pastor.
Everybody.
Okay.
Yeah. And so what happens is they would be able to contact Child Welfare Services, and they take it on from there as doing the investigation and reporting. So as a mandated reporter, all you do is just report the suspicion, and then they do the investigation.
Okay. And how does child abuse and dovetail into early Head Start and Head Start?
Well, we basically what our mission is to support families. And so what we want families to do is to be strong and to have resiliency and to be socially connected. There's five protective factors. LaTanya's going to talk about those a little bit that are recognized as ways to support families so that child abuse and neglect doesn't occur. And I'll let her talk about that.
Yeah, and it's part of the Strengthening Families coalition that is put together, and that's part of a bigger initiative in the state of Idaho that's the Children's Trust Fund, and that's really a group of people that are put together to really help build and connect families to build that resiliency. The five protective factors that they really focus on is the parental resilience and parental knowledge, the social connections, and the support of basic needs, and then the child's social and emotional competencies. And these just really help wrap around and bring those supports and knowledge into the parents, so then that way they can help sustain and build that self-sufficiency within their family.
Can I ask how, before we go too much further, you're from Early Head Start. Corey's from Early Head Start, and LaTanya, you're from Head Start.
Yes.
Okay. These are two different organizations that kind of work together.
Yes.
Corey, what's Early Head Start?
So Early Head Start, Mountain State's Early Head Start, serves pregnant women and children, families that have children from birth to age 3 in the home through home visiting and play groups. While North Idaho College, they serve 3 to 5 in a preschool setting throughout the school year. So that's how they're different.
And specifically, you serve, who applies for Head Start and Early Head Start?
We both have different kind of criterias that we look at, but we're looking at high needs families. We are income based, but 10% of the families can be over income. We're just really looking at the needs of the families to see how we can help support them. So we've got on our applications, we've got a set of criteria questions that we ask about those different stressors in the family. And we take into the account, you know, is there housing, and if there's any suspected or identified disabilities, just different family dynamics that's going on. And it's not a first come, first serve basis. It's off of a point system.
Mm-hmm. And so Head Start is, I mean, it ends up being kind of a daycare situation, or not like a preschool.
Yeah, it's a school readiness program. So we've got up in Sandpoint, we have 50 identified slots for the Head Start children, and we actually collaborate with the district preschool, and we've so we've got district preschool children that are enrolled in our Head Start program site as well.
Oh, interesting.
Are the 50 slots filled?
Yes, we maintain 50 at all times. If we have somebody that drops or transfers from the program, we usually fill that slot within a 24 to 48 hour period. So that's why we're always taking applications and going through them, so we can make sure that we're always getting the high needs individuals into our program.
How was the number 50 arrived at in terms of, is it in terms of funding, in terms of capacity or number of adults who can be with the children?
It's of the bigger picture of with NAC Head Start, we've got 293 identified slots that is in the 5 northern counties. And so we look at that and doing a community assessment and the needs within the community to be able to distribute those within a manner.
So when you say 293 slots, in an ideal world, how many slots would we like to have?
We would love to have more slots, because there's always those individuals
that
need
the waiting list.
Every one of our sites has an extensive waiting list of children and families that are waiting for that support and for that school readiness.
What are the other sites?
We have one up in Bonner's Ferry. That's our Julian Boucher Center. We've got a couple in the Coeur d'Alene area, Post Falls and Rathdrum, and then St. Mary's and Kellogg.
Mm-hmm. So what's a day look like at Early Head Start NIC Head Start?
At NIC Head Start?
Yeah.
Right now, our classes run 4 days a week. They're about 3.5 hours long. The children come in, and as they go in, they eat 2 meals there. So they're served breakfast style, family style meals. So then that way they learned how to proportion their food and talk about nutrition components and so we can help the children learn about the importance of nutrition and serving themselves and build their self-sufficiency. We also do individualized classrooms. So what that means is the teachers really look at where each of their children are at and the goals that they've already set with their families and build those into the classroom so they can go through. They have the large group and small group activities, and we also focus a lot on the social emotional aspect, getting kids ready for kindergarten.
Yeah. How it's interesting to me that you even incorporate, I mean, that even mealtime is an educational opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. There's a lot of things that can happen in just that basic communication with children during that time.
Yeah. I seem to recall, that was not the way it was when I was going to elementary school and preschool. I think I ate a cookie and chocolate milk like every day of my...
Well, I have a feeling that, like both of us, that I don't think I ever went to school hungry. And I think the realization that children who are hungry have a difficult time focusing on lessons and learning. And, that's just something. My mother was a second grade school teacher, and many of her children came without food in their stomachs. And that's why they had a food program in the morning. And she said it made all the difference.
It is. We always want to look and try to identify those different barriers that children have so they can be set up for success. And once we can get their food needs met, then they're opened up to learning. And we also do the developmental screeners as well, looking for other ways that things might be impeding learning. So that way we can help alleviate these different barriers so children can be set up for success. And we work with the families at the same time setting up, and helping them go through this process with them so they can learn the skills and be supported through the different obstacles that they may be facing.
I'd like to back up and ask LaTanya, she went through the five protective factors. And if you could talk a little bit more about each one, beginning with parental resilience and each one of those factors and how that dovetails into what you do with Head Start, but Head Start.
Okay. With the parental resilience, we're looking at just that support service and building up all of those factors so they can get through their obstacles that they're facing. And so looking at, all of the families that we have, everybody has their own individual stressors. So, and it's being connected into that community and building that network. And so having ways to build those skills for resilience really help. And we also, we have the family advocates that work with each of the families that are enrolled in the program, and they set the family goals and really help really work with the families to provide those resources and connect them with the community. So then that way for a lifelong, they're set up for success.
Okay. That's number one. Number two.
It's regrouping for a second. And with the parental knowledge, it's really giving them that backbone of that knowledge that they need for parenting, for being self-sufficient, and where to be connected at. Everybody is really a lifelong learner, and being able to recognize that and set yourself up for success and building those connections help. And so that's one of those focuses is, if they don't know how to do better, they're not going to do better. So, and it just depends on the circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
And with the social connections, we're looking at ways to connect families with their community and with other supports. So if they do have obstacles or they do need different supports and, they might be in the area and not have any family around, but then if they can connect socially with somebody and have those connections, everybody needs support one way or another. And if you have somebody that you can go to brainstorm with and to talk to about things that you're dealing with, you're able to bring that strength. And then it helps alleviate that frustration too. So then that way you are better set to provide that care for your children. And the support with the basic needs, it's just looking at if you don't have the basic necessities of life, if you don't have that housing, if you're struggling getting clothes for your children or looking at those ways that you can get food into your house, it's a matter of trying to figure that out. And so you're looking at how do you get your basic needs met? So then that way you can be set up for that success and have that support. And the children can be clothed and have food. And so that stressor is relieved. And then
go ahead.
I was just, then the last one is the child social and emotional competence, and that's really looking at helping parents and families understand where children are at and what their developmental levels are, so they can set up those expectations and how to build those up so they can be have that success for their children.
Mm-hmm. Mainly related to the parents there. I mean,
These are related, is related to the parents of when mm-hmm. we're working with the families, because that's the child's first teacher is their parents, mm-hmm. and that's where they get that structure and that support from, and that's how you can prevent that child abuse. Is looking at how do you build those social connections so the parents have an outlet, they have knowledge, they have information, and once they have that, they know those steps that they need to take, mm-hmm. and they have people that they can go to for support.
I'd like to ask Corey, since you deal with pregnant women, do you go through some of these issues with them before the child is even born?
Yes, that's part of our program, is that we talk to parents about planning and what it's going to be like to have children, because, being a parent can be difficult sometimes. And so, you know, our focus is the same, is to build those resiliency factors and get those things into place so that when parents do feel crisis coming on, or they're running out of food at the end of the month, like, what can we do? What can we do to support them so that next time they know how to take care of that and, you know, budget their food mm-hmm. during the month or things like that. So we do that with all of our families, like Head Start does. So
in other words, it's just not being pregnant and everything that goes with being pregnant and bringing a child into the world. As LaTanya said, there are other stress factors, like you mentioned, food, where's the next meal going to come from? And that just must complicate tremendously the pregnancy.
Right. And when we are able to focus on helping parents get those things in place, those five protective factors in place, then they can really focus on raising their child and being the parent that they want to be, so that they're not so stressed out all mm-hmm. the time. They're not feeling like the world's just revolving around them and they can't keep up with it, that they're able to go out, get what they need, and then be a parent to their child and focus on their child.
You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY with Jim and Jack. And we've been talking with Corey Holman with Mountain State's Early Head Start, and LaTanya Keough. She's the center manager for the local Head Start program. Let's take a break with a song. And I was quite surprised. You know, I'd like to get a song that fits in with the theme of the show. And I Googled songs about child abuse, and I was sent over to Wikipedia, and I was stunned by the alphabetical listing of the songs. And here's one that we're going to do that deals with child abuse, by the 10,000 Maniacs. That's the group that gave us Natalie Merchant way back when. And here's a song called What's the Matter Here? And one of the refrains is, I'm tired of the excuses everybody uses. He's your kid. Do as you see fit. But who gave you the right to do this? And so here's Natalie Merchant and 10,000 Maniacs with What's the Matter Here? And we'll come back with Corey and LaTanya. Natalie Merchant and the 10,000 Maniacs with a song about child abuse. What's the matter here, about the individual's responsibility when he or she sees abuse occurring? We're here this morning on the 88.5 KRFY Morning Show, Jim and Jack, with Corey Holman from the Mountain State's Early Head Start, and LaTanya Keough from the Center. She's the Center Manager for the Head Start program here in Sandpoint.
We were just talking during the break about the complicated funding arrangement, which might not be too fascinating for our radio listeners, but I know I was kind of interested. So you were just saying that you're an employee of NIC, North Idaho College.
This is LaTanya.
LaTanya, yeah.
Yes, NIC is our grantee, so they are the ones that handle our grant funds and then distribute them.
Right, but it's a federal
program. It's a federally funded program, yeah, so it's a grant-based
yeah.
program.
So I guess walk me through that. What is your relationship to NIC? Do you work kind of hand in hand with them a lot?
Yes, we work with them all the time. We actually just had a meeting last night with the Board of Trustees just so they could look and approve our grant before we even submitted it for that national review.
I see. It's a national program the way it's laid out. How long has Head Start been around? You know?
Oh, it's been since 1964. Yeah. I think 1964 or 65. I always forget which one it is.
So 50 some years.
So 50 some odd years, yeah.
But the money is not is always dispersed to different. Is it always educational entities or?
With specific to Head Start, no, it doesn't necessarily have to be through. I know Early Head Starts receives their funds through a different grantee, but it's kind of the same overall funding source through it's like the Health and Social Services, Health and Human Services Department of the federal government that they're distributed through.
Yeah, and it just goes out to, I mean, how did NIC say, I want to be the we want to be the people who
the partnership with NIC started years ago. I think we've been there for over 30 years, and they just took it because we used to be through the Community Action Program for a few years, and then we went into and NIC offered to be our grantee to handle our funds.
Hmm.
So it's been quite a while ago.
Yeah. So.
Are there any when you're attached or connected with NIC North Idaho College, are there any credits where students become involved in the Head Start program where they might get independent study or get education credits or anything like that?
If the parents are going to NIC, we look at that as that's what actually if they're going to any type of higher education, it's one of our criteria points just because it does add other stressors. We do partnership with the programs that they have. So their early childhood programs that they have, we can use all of our sites or we can use their practicum students so they can come in and do in the classroom study. We also have a class down at the NIC Children's Center where it is Head Start funded as well. And so that's really hands-on for students to do as well.
Corey, with the children that you deal with that is early Head Start, how many of them end up in LaTanya's Head Start? You know, how many move on?
Yeah, we work with our families when our children turn 30 months. We develop a transition plan. And
30 months would be 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Whoa, higher math.
I know. And as part of that transition plan, we talk to the families about where they would like to see their children go in the future. Okay. Sometimes preschool's not going to work for the family. Sometimes, transportation barriers and things like that may get in the way. But when we do have families that want to go into Head Start, we begin that referral process with them. And so we communicate back and forth between the centers or through the programs so that we can both support the family in the transition. And we have our home visitors will take over parents to visit the classroom to get them ready. And when they turn 3, then they're eligible for the Head Start program.
Now, earlier, LaTanya mentioned 50 children. Mm-hmm. Is there a number of children in early Head Start that you plateau out?
Yeah, our grant funds for Sandpoint area, it funds 40 children. So we do, we have 4 home visitors that serve 10 families a week, and they go out to their homes for an hour and a half and work with the moms and dads and the caregivers, whoever may be taking care of the child, and talk to them. It's a school readiness program, too, if you can imagine, with infants and toddlers. But we're getting, you know...
At 30 months.
But really, the school readiness is getting the parents ready for their child to go to school. So having them engage in doing observations of their child, noticing what their children are doing in the home that they would like to see them do differently, supporting them in their routines, and getting them ready to go to preschool.
Excellent, excellent. Now, this is I see on the table here some upcoming events, but let's talk before we go to the upcoming events. Contact information, Corey, for Mountain State's Early Head Start. If a person is interested or wants to learn more about the program, where does one go?
Well, our office is located on 137 McGee Road, which is towards the Kootenai area.
Okay.
And we have a building there with staff, so if you want to fill out an application, you can come in there. We also have a website, www.msehs.org, where you can take a look at what events we have going on, what our program does, and there's also a place to fill out an application there. Or you can call 263-2569, and we can do an application over the phone.
Oh, an application. Now, what would be the hours if a person were to stop by?
If they were to stop by, 8 to 5 are our business hours.
And you'd be looking to be contacted by prospective parents, I guess.
Yeah, anybody that's interested. And I always tell, even if you don't know, you know, it's an income-based program, but even if you don't know what your income is, apply for the program. You never know what might happen in the future, and you might need some support. So we tell everybody to apply.
And how about LaTanya? How do we get a hold of you?
For our contact information, we can be reached at the 208-263-6232. And our office, our school is located at 101 South Euclid here in Sandpoint. And we're there Monday through Thursday from that 8 to 4 o'clock, and then also on Fridays from 9 to 1. And somebody can always just come in and stop by to fill out that application information.
Well, so anyway, I wanted to ask Corey, what is Janus? That's your parent organization.
That's our grantee, and they're located in Boise, and they serve, they do human services. So there's about 20 programs that they oversee, and they are a grantee for the Mountain States Early Head Start program here in North Idaho.
Does that stand for something?
It has some philosophy behind it as far as, I don't know, I guess like a warrior or something
right,
like
yeah,
that.
Right, yeah, it's the Roman, like it's got two heads or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a newer name for us. It was adopted in the last couple of years.
The phone is going to ring off the hook on that one.
Right, yeah.
Something like that.
I want to ask Corey, what is your region in the state? What's your area? I mean, in terms of just Bonner County or?
Yeah, in Sandpoint, we serve, the area we serve here in Sandpoint goes out to Clark Fork.
Okay.
It goes up towards the Samuels area, but if we find families that are a little more high risk, we can stretch that a little bit. And we also recruit towards Laclede.
Okay.
And then we are kind of seamless down as we go towards the Rathdrum area. We have a center in Rathdrum, we have a center in Coeur d'Alene, and one in Shoshone.
How about north of here?
We don't go into Boundary County.
Okay.
We only serve the Bonner County.
Is there a Mountain States Early Head Start program up in Boundary County?
No. Our grant only covers.
Interesting.
Bonner County.
Interesting.
Here. Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about upcoming events. What's your upcoming event that I see?
We've got our Strengthening Families Community Celebration that's coming up on April 27th. And we were lucky to be able to host that at the Farm and Stidwell Elementary School. It's going to be from 3:30 to 6:30. And we're going to have tons of different vendors. We're kind of in the process where we still are having more agencies in the community contact us that are interested so they can participate. And it's a fun, free event so families can come and engage. And instead of, you know, focusing on the bad side of the child abuse and prevention and awareness and everything that people are going through, we're looking at focusing on building healthy relationships and those experiences and those positive memories. So we're asking there's going to be tons of different tables and vendors that will be there providing hands-on activities for families to participate in. We'll have food available, and we're hoping just for a fun evening. This is our second one that we're able to do, so we look forward to it for our annual event in April.
I see one of the events is face painting. I always loved that. And, you know, that you could be a different person, you know, no matter what is painted on your face. Yes, Corey.
We talked about the protective factors, the five protective factors. And this is really an opportunity for the community side of our standpoint to come forward and support families in those protective factors. So it's a great venue for our parents to attend, but also for our community to come together, say, you know, you're important to us. We value your children, and we know that being a parent is hard, and we want to help. And so it gives them that opportunity to really, really show that they care.
Okay, this is Friday, April 27th, 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. at Farm and Stidwell Elementary at 1626 Spruce Street. It's Strengthening Families Celebration.
And open to the whole everybody.
Mm-hmm. Open to the entire community.
Yeah.
And there's going to be food, games, activities, door prizes, face painting, and books. And adults can get face painted as well, correct?
Yes. Absolutely.
Good. Books and much more. And I'm quite sure that we'll be mentioning this in our community events calendar in the weeks ahead.
Yeah. Put it up on the board here.
Absolutely.
What else is coming up? Corey, you got something.
Yeah, we applied for a grant through the Idaho Children's Trust Fund, and we will be offering our circle security classes starting on April 2nd, on Monday. That was an April Fool's joke. and it'll be from 5:30 to 7 at the Lily Brook Center. So if you call to register, our office 263-2569, we can get parents signed up for that. It's a free parenting program. It's based on the attachment theory, and it's going to be offered. The teachers, the facilitators for that will be Brenda Hammond, who's our mental health specialist.
Yay, Brenda Hammond.
And then we Brenda. Also, Chris Logan and Krista Haller, who will also be co-facilitators, and they're home visitors in our program.
And one more time, the phone number is?
263-2569.
Okay.
I know we talked last time you were on the show, Corey. We talked about that the circle security and the attachment parenting with Brenda at the time. Mm-hmm. Can you briefly though tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it's an 8-week DVD series, and so we use it's out of we've adopted this kind of as our parenting program, and it's out of the Circle of Security International in Spokane. There's a group of gentlemen there that put together this program that's based on attachment theory, and it helps parents to go through the process of observing their children, what their child's needs are. It helps them to reflect on what things in parenting is a challenge for them. And then also it helps to eliminate some of those challenging behaviors. And so we're finding we offered this class to the community, 3 courses of it in the fall. And the success of the parents, they found it so useful. And we heard such great things from it that we want to continue to provide this to the community because we think it's important and valuable. So
where's it going to be held?
At the Lily Brook Center down on First Street, when you first come in, the big white house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that called the Lily Brook Center?
It's the Lily Brook Family Justice Center.
I love that house.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I never knew that.
227 First Avenue.
Well, this is a good chance to explore the house, if nothing else.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful
inside. To see what it looks
like. They're doing great things there. So,
can you, we're short on time, but I'm just, you mentioned attachment theory again. What is attachment theory versus what are the other theories? I don't know. You know?
You're opening a can of worms.
Yeah.
but basically the idea is that the parent-child relationship is really important. And that can start from pregnancy where you develop an attachment to your baby. And when you're able to read your baby's cues and respond to their needs, it can be really important for parenting and school readiness later on. And so it's based off the idea of being able to recognize what your child needs. And you know, even though we are a program that serves infants and toddlers, and the DVDs that we use focuses, they're videos of infants and toddlers, the skills and the concepts and the ideas that go through with this parenting program really can be used in any relationship. It can be used for elementary age children. It can be used for your high school student. It can be used in your partnership or with your partner in your home, or it can be used with your own parents as adults. So we all have gone through it. All of the staff at our center have gone through it, and it's a really cool program.
Interesting. Well, how do I, if I don't have a young kid, how do I learn more about this?
You could still sign up for the parenting class if you would like to.
Oh, I should do that. I should come and learn attachment parenting without, just by myself. Yeah. And then me and Jim can communicate much better on the air, probably, right? It will be,
Well, who's the parent and who's the child? Think about that.
We're probably two children relating. I would have, at that point, done the class, and so I would be the parent, and I would recognize what you need before you even have to say it, Jim. Would you like a cup of tea or something like that?
A scone.
I would know that before you even have to say it.
Okay, this has been a great discussion with Corey and LaTanya. Corey with the Mountain State's Early Head Start Program. I have to pause because I just want to jump right in. And LaTanya Keough with the the Head Start Program through North Idaho College. Anything either of you want to say in closing? Because you've just provided us with lots of information, and both of you and your programs are doing an incredible job in the North Idaho community.
Thank you. There is one more thing. We've talked a lot about strengthening families and those protective factors that they have. If anybody's interested in learning more about those, we do have a new website for the strengthening families, and that's www.strengtheningfamiliesni.com. And that is a local for the North Idaho area where all of the resources in each of the protective factors are kind of pulled together so they can look at there and find some more information.
What was it again? One more time.
It's www.strengtheningfamiliesni.com.
Hmm. Well, there you have it. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
And we'll play another song now dealing with child abuse. This is by Joni Mitchell from her Night Ride Home album called Cherokee Louise. And the singer is a friend of a young friend about 13 years old of Cherokee. And they used to crawl in the tunnel and have their cold cut sandwiches. But Cherokee Louise comes from a home where there is child abuse. The line in here says she runs home to her foster dad. He opens up a zipper and he yanks her to her knees. It's not a very cheerful song, but it does hit that element of child abuse. And nobody like Joni Mitchell to put it to music and make it effective. This is called Cherokee Louise, and it's just a, in its own way, a beautiful song. That is Joni Mitchell with the incredible song Cherokee Louise about child abuse. I want to thank, Jack and I would like to thank Corey and LaTanya for coming down to the station this morning and the incredible sharing information about the incredible work they are doing with the Early Head Start Program and the Head Start Program here in North Idaho.
Yeah. That Joni Mitchell song is, once again, I don't know. Joni Mitchell just can do it. She writes beautiful music and lyrics that'll just tear you apart.
If you look at that, the lyrics in the song, there's an element of innocence that is taken away by what the stepfather does. Mm-hmm. And the way the two, she and Cherokee Louise, they go crawling on their hands and knees through the tunnels and making discoveries and eating their cold cut sandwiches and imagining. And now she's down there waiting for Cherokee Louise to show up, which of course, good luck on that. Mm-hmm. Let's do some community events. But before we do, I have been getting texts from my friends in Amsterdam, and they have been saying that we are coming through loud and clear. Doesn't that just blow your mind?
Yes. It's not like the old days. But it is funny that no matter where you are in the world, it's just crystal clear.
We can be connected. And,
right down the street.
And the interesting aspect is that they corrected me. It's not nighttime there. It's supper time. Mm-hmm. It's going on 6 o'clock there. So have a good supper, Mazen and Hans. And one day we'll be joining you again. But tonight, coming up in Sandpoint at the Panada Theater, a film called Getting Grace That's going to be screened on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And you can go to the Panada.org page for the times of the movie. But tonight, I know it's at 7:30, and Friday, it's at 5:30, and Saturday, 3:30 and 7:30 p.m. That is Getting Grace at the Panada Theater.
Getting Great. Do you know anything about it, Jim?
No, I don't.
Not this one. I've got the events calendar here as well. Where are we? We're up to the 29th, and it is Trivia Takeover Live.
That's
night
tonight. That's tonight.
Right. Starting at 5:30 at the Pondere Winery is where trivia is going to be tonight. Teams are encouraged but not required. Wine and beer specials and prizes as well, free and open to the public, held on the last Thursday of every month. You know, maybe this is the usual trivia night here in town is Tuesday night,
yeah,
which is usually when I'm on the air and I never get to play. But maybe I should start going to the last Thursday of the month.
I don't like being by myself because I do have certain gaps, like television. You know, somebody could name all of them, you know, the members of the Partridge Family, and I go, duh.
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. So, you know, I like teams because somebody might know sports and somebody might know science.
Sports is my gap, I think. I'm not very good at it. I know, like, about as much as...
Yeah.
Anyone, I guess, but not...
Well, coming from Minnesota, you ought to be hitting home runs with hockey.
Yeah, I probably know a little bit more about hockey and maybe about the Minnesota Twins. But
and the Vikings.
Right. But general sports trivia, I don't have it. And there's some people who just know, you know, the batting average of everyone in the lineup from 1962.
And earned runs and things like that. That's Trivia Takeover Live tonight at the Pondere Winery at 5:30 p.m.
There's a wine dinner at 41 South featuring Napa Valley's Trinchero Family Estates at 6 p.m. That's at 41 South. The phone number there is 208-265-2000. 2000. Music is at the Idaho Poor Authority tomorrow night. Live music from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. with Beargrass, fiery bluegrass from North Idaho at the Idaho Poor Authority. At the Wine Bar, there's live music with Marty and Doug. And that's, again, tomorrow night, 334 North 1st Avenue. That's the Cedar Street Bridge Wine Bar, as opposed to the Pondere Winery, just at the other end of the street. At the Beer Hall, Harold's IGA will be gracing McDuff's Beer Hall at 220 Cedar Street tomorrow night for a fun night of live music, cheers, and beers from 6:30 p.m. till 9:30 p.m. That's Harold's IGA, local indie rock heroes. The ever-changing cast of characters. Edelwagen Food Truck will also be there. It's open to it's free and open to the public as long as you're 21 or older, because it is a beer hall, after all. There's live music at the 219, one of Sandpoint's newest musical groups, the Somethings, from 9 p.m. until midnight. Come out and welcome this exciting trio, Megan Turner, Brian Jacobson, and Chris Lynch. They've added a third to the Somethings, to the Niner, as they work their melodic magic. Free and open to the public, again, as long as you're 21 and older, starting at 9 o'clock on Friday night. There's live music at the Winery with Jake Robin from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. That's at the Pondere Winery. Mm-hmm. And then we're through our musical Friday night.
Heading into Saturday, this is Easter weekend.
Yes.
And on Saturday the 31st, Lions Club Easter Egg Hunt. The Sandpoint Lions Club holds their annual Easter Egg Hunt in Lakeview Park, 607 South Ella. Children ages 1 to 12 are welcome to participate, and there will be separate areas set aside for each age group. The event begins promptly at 10 a.m., so families are encouraged to arrive early. Parents are not allowed in the marked-off areas, but may watch from the sidelines.
That's good.
Yeah. I think that's very good.
I like that. That would be fun to go see, I think.
I love to watch little children discover treasures.
I bet it goes quick. Starts promptly at 10 a.m. You don't want to be late.
In Lakeview Park.
There will be a visit from the Easter Bunny over at the Bonner Mall in Pondere from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So you can head on over and still catch him until 2 after the Easter egg hunt. He'll have treats on hand or paw for kids ages 12 and under. This is also the Laughing Dog Brewing taproom anniversary party starting at 5 p.m. if you're over 12, that is. The brewery's Mug Club Appreciation Renewal Party. All are invited to come enjoy food, beer, and raffles. Plus, Devin Wade will be performing from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. LaughingDogBrewing.com. There's live music at the Idaho Poor Authority, the wine bar, and more and more. And we're almost out of time. Anything important that we want to mention before
yes,
we go?
Yes, coming up tonight.
Yes.
The program lineup on 88.5 KRFY. At 7 o'clock, Dusty with Americana Backroads, always presenting an unusual mix of singers and songwriters. Always a good listen. And at 8 o'clock, live from The Divide, coming from Bozeman, Montana. And tonight at 9, I'll be here live bringing you more folk music around the theme of folk songs with the word my in the title.
You keep... keep working those pronouns.
Those pronouns. Got it. I do want to say, next week at this time, Jack, we will be the first show of ours Thursday morning in April.
Yeah.
And I just want to quote the poet. April is the cruelest month, breeding lilacs out of the dead land, mixing memory and desire, stirring dull roots with spring rain. That comes from T.S. Eliot. The Wasteland, a famous poet. And I always like that line. We think of April as, ooh, neat stuff coming out of the ground and, you know, coming back. And here, just what a downer. April is the cruelest of months.
I think there must have been some personal problem going on there.
I think what's going on there is the fact that what we have is nature rejuvenates, rebirths, comes back again. And here we are. We just plod forward. Mm.
True.
How's that for cheery stuff?
Oh, it's been a heavy day, hasn't it? This was a rough one to come back to. But it
bird note.
Yeah.
Tell me if that's not great.
That's true. Tune into nature.org presents Bird Note, then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long right here on 88.5 KRFY Pondere. Stay tuned. Thanks for joining us for the morning
show. Good having you back, Jack.
Thanks, Jim.
This is Bird Note.
Shh.